Every Wednesday afternoon, it's SOTA Money Trends with Metairie Bank on WWL, and this is where we actually learn something from the show. It's really amazing. I learn something every time we talk to somebody from Metairie Bank. Paul Myers is the North Shore Market President. He joins us this afternoon. Hey, Paul, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how are you doing?
Good. Leaving politics out of it completely, is the economy good? And I know there are exceptions, but in general, is the economy good?
I think in general, yes, the economy is good. I'm not an economist. And I will tell you, if you read, if you're a numbers nerd like me and you read the various publications and listen to all the talking heads, you've got some people that are really befuddled in everything. And when I use that word, it's because everything that's been done up until this point has been to try and slow the economy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with the Fed raising the rates as much as they have over the last 12 months, all of that was put in place to try and slow the economy down. And it really hasn't to this point.
So is this going to lead, if the economy is good, is this going to lead to higher interest rates that are going to last longer?
Well, if you parse through the Chairman Powell's comments from last week, they are very much on the side of they're either going to hold, or if they have to, they're going to increase. And one of the things that is challenging right now has to do primarily with the fact that there's a lot of things that in this current economy that we haven't had in previous economies. And that was, you know, during COVID, we had record low interest rates. People refinanced their homes, and maybe that allowed them to have a monthly reduction in overall payments, thus improving the family cash flow. You had the pause in required payments for student loans. You had the various stimulus programs and stimulus checks that went out to families across the nation. So all of these things play a part in the fact that the consumer buying confidence, if you will, it still remains high, on top of the fact that coming out of the pandemic, so many jobs had to be backfilled. So many of those positions had to be backfilled, and people were going back to work. So a lot of these things are, I would say, somewhat anomalies in trying to land the plane, if you will, on a very narrow runway to try and slow this economy down.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if anything slows it down. And if there were attempts to slow it down and it's not slowing down, that would suggest that it's a pretty good economy. And again, I want to leave politics out of this. And some people are having a difficult time now. Some people are doing mm-hmm. really well. And so, you know, overall, it seems like the economy is healthy. A lot of people are selling cars, and a lot of people are doing a lot of things.
They are. And you know, one of the things that I think will start to shake out over the next 6, 8, 12 months, you know, revolving debt in the United States is starting to ramp up. You know, we're up over a trillion in revolving credit card debt as of the second quarter of 2023. And that's actually a record high, up from the first quarter of 2023 that was just under a trillion. So, and that's actually something that we have seen on the banking side of it, is people are coming in, and because they refinanced in very low first mortgage rates, they're looking at home equity lines of credit as a way to try and take advantage of a more, more palatable way to consolidate these debts, put them in payments that make sense. So, and we've seen that in doing home equity lines of credit for people, and things, because they especially don't want to touch that 2% and 3% first mortgage. So that's something that's going to shake out. And what we don't know is ultimately when a lot of this stockpiled savings that I alluded to earlier, we don't know what the real effect is that's going to be as that continues to diminish, because it's we can see it nationally. It's going out of the banking system. People are living out of their savings a little bit more due to higher cost of goods and services. So as those things start to, as that dynamic starts to change, I think that coupled with high interest rates and some other things, I think that'll really show us how strong and resilient the economy is.
Now, Paul, if the interest rates do go up, and when interest rates do go up, just before I let you go, talk briefly sure. about how that affects the average person, like me or our listeners. How does that affect the average person? And just what's the ripple effect through the economy?
Well, what it does is it takes the cost of everything, goods and service-wise, especially short-term money, and elevates it. If you are walking around with credit card debt, your credit card debt automatically goes up based upon whatever the multiple is that you have when those rates increase. But if you take a step back, and granted, it's an interesting fact, and I haven't been able to fully substantiate this, so don't quote me on it, but I was listening to an economist and a webcast that has to do a former professor at University of Pennsylvania, and it's Dr. Peter Linneman. And he was saying that what is also different about the economy today than it was, say, in the 50s, 60s, 70s was that you have 35% of the U.S. economy is made up by state, local, and federal governments. And then another 18% of it is made up by healthcare. So you got 53% of the total U.S. economy is made up by markets that aren't necessarily 100% sensitive to mm-hmm. interest rates. If you had a manufacturing facility and you were having to buy materials and you were borrowing from the bank for working capital needs and things like that, your costs continue to go up. So whereas these entities, I don't want to say that they're not sensitive to interest rate movement at all, but let's just say they may be less sensitive at 53% of the U.S. economy. That's a big number, and maybe that's also a reason why we're not seeing that. But yeah. I digress. That wasn't what your question was.
That's all right.
Ultimately, what happens is as things go up, as things cost more to do, as companies it costs more to run trucks, run deliveries, if it costs more to make a good and service or a widget, ultimately, if the cost from the manufacturer or from the delivery is higher, that's going to translate higher to those who are walking around who've got to go to Rouse's or wherever to buy their gallon of milk.
Right. Paul, well, and on that note, let me share this text with you. How can the economy good with gas being well over $3 a gallon? A gallon of milk is around $6, and interest rates are 5 to 7% on home loans, et cetera. So with these prices, how can the economy still be good?
Well, and we can get real granular on the gallon of milk and the gallon of gas and things like that. And again, that goes back to how are you defining is the economy good?
Right.
Are you defining it based upon the number of job openings and the job market came out today and you had 177,000 today. So ultimately it is softening some, but is it softening without having to have layoffs? And I think that's mm-hmm. the question with what the Fed is trying to do. Are they able to take the rates up, slow the economy without having layoffs where people are out looking for work? With respect to, let's see, it was gas, milk, and what was the other one on the text?
Gas, milk, and just interest rates.
And interest rates. So if you think about it, and Scoot, I know you're, so I'm 46, I know you're 52, you're just a couple of years older than me.
Oh, yeah, right.
But if you
right.
think about it, and you look at the history, if you look at the history of interest rates in the U.S., a 5 to 7% mortgage rate is absolutely within the normal parameters of where interest rates are going to be. What
right.
we have is we have a generation of people who have grown up where the mindset is the interest rates need to be 2 to 4%, and anything above that is just crazy. Well, but if you look at historically, you know, the average home mortgage, 30-year home mortgage, at somewhere between 6 and 7% is absolutely within the norm.
You know, and that's an interesting
mindset.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at that because I talked to Carlton Dufresne, head of the Causeway. And, you know, I'm kind of complaining about it. I don't drive the Causeway all the time, and I drive it enough to where it matters. So Causeway is going to go from $5 to $7. And that just seems mm-hmm. like a lot of money. But he said that, you know, based on the cost of living today, that is congruent with the cost of living, and it's proportional. It's proportionate to the cost of living. So in the context of the cost of living, it's not really outrageous, but people are going to define that as being outrageous because it's $7 to cross the bridge.
Well, and, you know, that's a very valid point. If we did, and I'll try and remember to do this, you know, again, numbers nerd over here, but if we look at what the cost of a gallon of milk is today and the cost of a gallon of gas is today, based upon the day's income levels and et cetera, versus what it was in, say, 1950, I'm going to bet it's probably cheaper today than it was back then. Don't hold me to that. I want to do some research.
Right.
But I'm curious as to how that pertains to today's dollars.
Interesting conversation. Excuse me. And we always learn something when we talk to you, Paul. So Paul Myers, North Shore Market President for Metairie Bank. Thank you for being with us on Money Trends with Metairie Bank on WWL.
Thanks, Scoot. Have a great day.
You too, Paul.